I want you to know that I'm going to read you a whole lot of stuff today. I want you to also know that I wrote it. I'm not getting this from somebody else. We're going to do a lesson today. You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. We could have all kind of funny tricks and all kind of things that we want to throw out there for people to see and think and talk about. But if you get it from the Scriptures, it's going to give you a whole lot better outlook. In Matthew 16, 13 to 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "What do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. In this text, we come to an intimate moment in Jesus and his disciples who had traveled from Bethsaida to Caesarea Philippi, and it was here that Jesus asked a fundamental question: "Whom do you say that I am?" Hearing the response of what men thought of him, Jesus pressed on further, making the personal for the disciples. Being challenged by the Lord, Peter offered the most profound statements in all Scripture. He declared that Jesus was, in fact, the Son of the Living God. We all face questions and are forced to make important and even critical decisions every day. All of us are like that. Some are insignificant, while others are lasting implications. All of the questions that have been asked and those that may be asked in the future, none of them are more important than the question Jesus posed with the disciples when he said, "Whom do you say I am?" Let me tell you this. On this earth, I'm nobody. I don't want to bust your bubble, but you're in the same boat. It's a question that we all need to answer, and it's impossible to avoid. Those who refuse to deal with the question openly put themselves on display as ones who has chosen to reject Jesus Christ. We should examine the text and consider this profound statement: "Thou art the Christ." The best words you'll ever hear on this earth. You are the Christ. It's a question of eternal significance. I mean, it's going to go with us all the rest of our lives. All of mankind must answer this question. I don't know if you've realized or not, you're going to die. Do you believe that's true? I don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow, next year, 20 years from here, but it's going to happen. You're going to die unless the Lord comes first. Jesus wasn't asking the question so that he could get knowledge for himself, because he already knew the hearts of every person. He knows whether we have fully accepted the confession of the Savior and baptized in his name, or if we view him less than a Savior of the world. It's interesting that Jesus brings up the question of eternal significance in Caesarea Philippi. This was the region that Jesus and his disciples had gone to rest from the multitudes who followed him for material gain, and as well as scoffers who denied. Can you think, if you're thinking at Jesus and thinking about how Jesus did his work, that there were people who were scoffers? It was there that Herod the Great had built the great temple in honor of Caesar, not God. His son Philip had made a temple more elaborate and magnificent that was known worldwide. And all of this was done to encourage worship of the Caesar and his God. This setting that Jesus asked fundamental question, "Who do men say that I am?" This is the title of Daniel referred to our Lord. "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was like the Son of Man coming down with the clouds of heaven, and he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into the presence, and he was given authority and glory and sovereign power, and all nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." There are people who want to just take religion and just throw it away. But I'll tell you this, it's not going to be done. It may be done here and there, but it will not go away. Son of Man is a name that Jesus most frequently referring to himself and speak of his humanity and his sacrifice and his relationship to fallen man. He knew of worship and devotion of the Caesar and their rejection of him. He knew that many Jews had rejected the Son of Man, the Messiah, and wanted the disciples to ponder their faith as well as they were doing with themselves. We must also answer this question, what about you? Who do you say that I am? There's a reflection in all of this in a social indifference. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." The response of the disciples reveals a tragedy that is repeated throughout the ministry of Jesus. The Holy Lamb of God had come to take away the sin of the world, and yet many never recognized or accepted him as the promised Messiah. And that's still true today. They witnessed miracles, even astonished at his words, but they never believed on him as the Christ. Many felt as if Jesus was simply Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets reincarnated. They couldn't embrace the fact that Jesus was doing this. They had admitted that Jesus was a man of power, but they rejected the idea that he was the Christ. The Son of God was reduced to nothing more than mortal man in the eyes of most who knew him. And he's still that way in many in the world. Those of his own hometown rejected him. I'm going to tell you, I love Jesus Christ. All that he's done for me, all that he's given to me and others like yourself. The Messiah had come, but the spiritual ones were blinded and they rejected him. In Mark 3, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by the disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What is this wisdom that he's been given? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's boy? And brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, aren't these sisters with him?" And they took offense at him. It doesn't seem like they did it, so they want to just push it off and say it didn't happen. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except to lay hands on a few people who were sick and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. His social acceptance was tragic, but we can't expect the world to acknowledge Jesus as the Savior. We find the same spiritual ignorance today. The Bible is clear that Jesus is the only way to salvation. And yet many decide to put their faith in anyone or anything but the Redeemer. The world continues to hold a distorted view of Christ, and some will even deny that he ever was on this earth. And you think what you want to, you're wrong. Jesus was on this earth. You and I should never be guilty of placing our Lord in the same level as mortal man. A confession of personal assurance would tell us that Jesus was well aware of what the Pharisees and those around Jerusalem thought of him. And here he posed the same question to the disciples. It's funny to me that Jesus is asking the same question everywhere he goes. He just keeps going. We must never be guilty of belittling the Lord, viewing him less than he really is. Jesus already knew the reality of the hearts. Here's things you know. Jesus Christ walked this earth. Yes? Jesus Christ was killed by vicious men. Is that true? They laid him in a grave, and 3 days later, what happened? Up from the grave he arose. How, you remember the song? Jesus Christ died for our sin. He wasn't worrying about how long he was going to live. He died for the sin of the people who would say, I will embrace this with you. Jesus was well aware of the evil the Pharisees and those around Jerusalem thought of him, and he posed the same question to the disciples. Just as before, Jesus already knew the reality of their heart. Jesus don't have to find out what's going on. He already know. But he wanted them to ponder who he was and why he came. That's what people today need to do. It is here that Peter makes a profound confession. But what about you, he asked. What do you say? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, the best words you ever heard in your life right there. They had shared what they believed the world to think. And now Jesus wanted to hear from them. He was aware that his own had rejected him, but he hadn't overlooked those who had faithfully followed him. In this, we find that each disciple was personally accountable to recognize the Lord. That's the challenge. Jesus was concerned with their individual faith. The world may have denied him, but he was willing to accept those who believe him. The world as a whole does not care about Jesus Christ, by and large. But Jesus continues, multitudes rejected him. Jesus continues to ask, whom do you say that I am? What will you do with me? Are you willing to recognize me as Savior? The world may reject him today, but he's lovingly forgiving and pardons those who accept him. Boy, that's what I want to know. I've made some bad blunders in my life. I'm going to speak for you. You did the same thing. Others can't decide for you. You have to decide for yourself. In Matthew 10:32-33, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Boy, that's a good deal right there. I've done that. You've done that. Many of you have. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me, I will disown them before my Father in heaven. God says, I'm giving you every chance in the world. This is the one time that Peter got it right. Simon Peter said, you are Messiah, the Son of the living God. I don't believe he was being arrogant or trying to get ahead of others, because he was certain of who Jesus was, and he wasn't ashamed now to declare it. Peter had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wasn't just a great prophet or a teacher or a man who spoke authority or possessed power over all creation. He wasn't just a miracle worker. He was the Christ. What kind of assessment have you made regarding Christ? Is he just someone you've read about or heard about or others taught about? Is he just some man from the Bible that claims to be the Son of God, or is Christ? I'm thankful I've proclaimed the Lord in my life. I've watched some of you do that. We've watched your children do that. I praise his name that he gave me life that I might live, offering me opportunity to be saved and stay saved. He's my Lord, and I'm persuaded that Jesus is the promised one and purchased me in redemption. And so he will with you. He's the Son of God. Peter couldn't see Calvary from here, and he couldn't fully understand what lay ahead, but he knew enough to know that Jesus was the Son of God. He recognized the faith that Jesus had been sent from God out of heaven, and he was, in essence, declaring the deity of Christ. This is a fundamental element of our faith. We serve the Son of the living God. We serve one who was the Father of eternity past. We serve the one who stands in the second person of the Godhead. They crucified his body. He died. He was buried. But praise God, it wasn't the end of the story. He rose from the grave victorious. And he lives today, and we can understand that Jesus did for me, and he does for you, and he will continue to do for people all over the world who will give God a chance. Here is the trustworthy saying. If we died with him, listen, if we died with him, we'll also live with him. You beat a deal like that. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we disown him, he'll disown us. That's a fair deal. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. John 1:3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus was not just a good man who died a tragic death, a martyr's death. He was the only begotten Son of the Father, robed in the flesh, who gave himself atonement for sin, this fundamental question remains, who is Jesus? Regardless of what others think or believe, our response to that question will determine our eternal destiny. We have to answer that question. You can say, I don't believe in all that. I'll tell you this before we quit. I've heard all kind of deathbed confessions over the years. When people start to die and they know death is right around the corner, what do they want? You know what they want to say, the preacher? You know what they want the preacher to say? I have been in this arena a whole bunch of time. Brother preacher, you think I'll go to heaven when I die? Brother preacher, am I good enough? Let me help you all with that one. None of us are good enough. But we have one who arose from the grave. And we have this God's Son who, with his Father, reigns forever. You will never die again in his presence. Now, I want you to hear this, and I quit. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth will be given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And the church said, amen. I'm telling you, God is on our side. You cannot miss. You're going to mess up every day of your life. It's going to be part of your regime everywhere you go. But God will give you his promise. And I have given myself to him in that promise. Alan, would you sing a song for us?